It's the Las Vegas Sports Line.
They hate to love me, because I love me for me.
Presented by William Hill Race and Sports Books. Here's your hosts, Dave Koken and Matt Humans.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Las Vegas Sports Line. I'm Dave Koken. Matt Humans is here, and we are graced by the presence of a gentleman who has taken off the shirt and tie and shed the luxuries of his posh executive suite here at Lotus Broadcasting, Mark Seidel. No longer one of the common people in this building. He's an executive. He's a suit now.
That was a clip-on tie, by the way.
Well, I'm sure of that. I wasn't going to give that away, but you went ahead and did. Mark Seidel is here, and on a perfect day, because on this show we'll be talking extensively some college football for the first time this year. Paul Compton, the sports cruncher, is going to join us. And not one of the teams that we're slated to talk about. We'll have to bring them into the conversation, because you will want to talk about your North Carolina Tar Heels, who you're very high on, so we'll save that for later on. Paul's got some great stuff to talk about as far as the upcoming college football season is concerned. Today's show is brought to you by William Hill, and that means the presence of Nick Bogdanovich. And when Nick's on, we'll tell you about a couple of great contests that are now being rolled out at William Hill for the upcoming football season. You know, there's some really big, expensive contests to get into in town. Not everybody can afford to play in those or has the desire to take that kind of a shot. William Hill has set up something for recreational bettors that gives them a chance to win a lot of money and have a great deal of fun, and we'll talk about that as well. It's that time of year, Matt, where, you know, the Hall of Fame game arrives, and it really is the start of the football season here in Las Vegas.
While you were on vacation, we did have Bruce Marshall of the Gold Sheet on to talk some college football. He went to SEC and Pac-12 Media Days. And he was high on one of the teams in the Pac-12 that Paul Compton also, I believe, likes.
And, I don't know if he likes it or not, but he's on the list of teams to talk about, so right. I'll assume that the answer is yes. And they're on my list, too. So you'll stick around for that. You'll find out who that is. Meantime, Joey Votto having an interesting Tuesday evening with some fans. First, apparently, some kid asked him for a piece of equipment, and he... Say, well, you're sitting in the front row, you're elite. And he didn't give it to him. Then he did later on. I think he was maybe having some fun with him. Then an incident with a fan during the game where the fan kind of got in his way on a foul ball. It was a Reds fan with a Reds T-shirt on. And he kind of grabbed the T-shirt in one hand afterwards by the logo as if to say, you know, you're not supposed to be getting in my way on a foul ball. But he later kind of apologized for that as well by giving the fan, I guess, a signed ball and taking a picture with him as well. He's getting called out for it. I don't know. If it's a kid, obviously you don't, you know, that's what. If the grown man, and you're, and particularly it's your team, based on the fact you're wearing a shirt, get out of the way and let him catch the ball.
There's different rules. If it's a kid or a woman,
yes,
it's okay. I think if it's a, like you said, if it's a grown man, act your age.
Yeah. And it's your team. Now, if it's the other team, get in the way. Actually, you're supposed to interfere as much as possible and not let the
player. I don't know if you saw this last week. There was a San Francisco Giants game where a fan reached over and caught a home run ball, and it looked like it would have hit off the top of the wall if he didn't reach over and snag it. It was against the Nationals. It was that series last week. I was up in the Bay Area listening on the radio, and John Miller was talking about it. And... that was a Giants fan to reach over and grab the Nationals homer that would have hit off the top of the wall, it looked
like. And they gave him a home run?
Yeah.
Huh?
On a replay, it's tough to reverse those calls sometimes. And that one, there was some gray area, so it really couldn't reverse it.
Well, there's always gray area. I mean, you can go back to the Bartman thing and say there's some gray
area. Well, not that one. I think that was pretty obvious.
All those fans, to me, in that row, and it wasn't just Bartman, it was all of them, were reaching for the ball. It's like, I mean, did you go to watch the game and help your team win or not? If you really don't care about your team, then don't sit someplace where you might actually impact the play in the game. I'm serious about that.
All right, let's recap what happened last night. We've got a lot of ground to cover today. The shot of the night.
Hi, this is Jay Solomini from Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar at 6515 South Las Vegas Boulevard in Town Square. Come join us for our 100 Wines of Summer. We are offering to our guests a complimentary taste of two of our selected wines from our Fleming's 100 Wines by the Glass list. And if you choose to purchase a bottle, you will receive a promotional price of 50% off, going on now through August 31st at Fleming's in Town Square.
It's that time.
Shoot it, fat boy.
Swing, and this is crushed right field. Gone! Three-run homer. Robinson Cano off the lefty specialist Fernando Abad, and the Mariners lead it 5-4.
Yeah, Fernando Abad's debut as a member of the Red Sox didn't go particularly well.
That was
well.
Not the Red Sox radio network.
No, it sure wasn't. And Jay Salamini was not one of the fans jumping up and down at Safeco last night. He's up there to check out this series between the Red Sox and Mariners. But Flemingstown Square still has some great stuff, even though Jay's not there. Some tremendous summer specials that they've been rolling out. Check them out. Give them a call. Make a reservation. Have yourself a great dinner at Fleming's. 407-0019. And don't forget happy hour every day from 5 to 7, where you'll meet some terrific people and have a good time. That's at Fleming's Town Square. Boy, the Red Sox have been involved in some crazy games the last few days, haven't they?
Yeah, they won two dramatic games. And then last night, Robinson Cano's three-run homer. That's a five-run eighth inning for the Mariners to get that win 5-4 over the Red Sox. Has been a wild week for the Sox.
Money well spent. I don't think anybody expected this score with Madison Bumgarner pitching, but here's what happened in Philadelphia.
It's money well spent.
Swing and a dribbler towards third. Franco waiting. He gloves it, steps on the bag, and that's the ball game. And the Phillies beat the Giants tonight in the opening game of the series, 13-8.
But no, really, I mean, that's a weird game. Now, you get some high-scoring games in that ballpark, which is conducive to offense, but when Madison Bumgarner's on the mound, you're not looking for a 21-run game where the Giants give up 13. I think eight of those were against Mad Bum. There was some bad defense involved, so not all the runs were earned. But this was not one of his stellar performances, and the Giants continue to kind of scuffle around and lose a game that, you know, look, you get eight runs against the Phillies and Madison Bumgarner's on the mound, you got to figure you won the game.
Well, the Phillies were plus 220 last night. Big dog that cashes there. Mad Bum has not been that sharp since the All-Star break. He had the one hitter going into the break and has not been the same since the break. 13-8 last night. Phillies get the win in that one. Right now, the Marlins on top of the Cubs 4-2. Last night, the Cubs got the better of the Marlins 3-2, and that was a play of the day loser for us, so there was money well spent on the Cubs. How'd you feel about the way that game went down?
I thought the Cubs ended up being the right side. I thought they could have had more runs off Jose Fernandez early, and he managed to squeeze out of some jams. There was a base-running blunder by D. Gordon. By the way, and I made a quick mention of this in my blog today, enough with the hot dog and stuff. On Monday, he's doing the Dikembe Mutombo finger wag at Wilson Contreras, who tried to throw behind him at first base, and then he promptly gets thrown out stealing. Yep. Last night, gets picked off first base. You know what? You cost your team possibly a playoff spot by getting suspended 80 games for using PEDs. How about just go out and play the game and pay attention to baseball instead of getting camera time with finger waves and stuff like that? I got another finger at some of the Marlins fans would like to wave at him right now.
The part where he finger waved at Wilson Contreras and then got thrown out stealing second was hilarious. I would put him on the clown of the weekend candidate list if that happened a couple days before that. D. Gordon, a guy you wouldn't expect to get suspended for PEDs either. Like you said, the 80-game suspension, what's he weigh, about $150?
Yeah, he's not a big guy. But whatever the reason, he got caught 80 games, and if the Marlins missed the playoffs by, say, two games, I think those are two games that they might have won had Gordon been on the field. So anyway, Marlins are leading the Cubs 4-2 in the ninth inning, top of the ninth. Milwaukee trailing San Diego early. Well, not that early now, top of the fifth. And the Padres have a 4-0 lead with Edwin Jackson pitching another good game for San Diego. How's that happening? And Washington and Arizona, they are tied at one going to the top of the sixth. The rest of the games are tonight. Nick Bogdanovich is on the line right now. We're going to talk a whole bunch of stuff with Nick today. He's, of course, the odds maker for William Hill U.S. What's happening, Nick? How are you?
Oh, I'm good, guys. What's going on with you?
Well, let's start right off with this. The announcement came in my email today. You guys have added another great contest this year, and these are set up for basically for anybody. You can be a high roller who doesn't mind getting into smaller contests. So for those who can't spend $1,500 or $2,000, perfect. Two great contests.
Yeah, no, the one we always have, that's the Pro Pick'em. That's been rolled over through all the years at Cal Neva and Leroy's, and we just kept it going on. So, you know, that's, you know, for the smaller NFL player, just pick as many winners with no spread. That one's standard in a lot of properties. But the one we added was the college contest. There's, you know, my suggestion to marketing was no one does a college contest and probably should be a little on the higher end if we do it, and finally decided on $500 entry fees.
That's
so.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, no, I think we'll put out 25 lined games Wednesday at noon, and you can pick seven of them. And, you know, we'll go for 10 weeks, and the winner, I think we pay three spots, so the winner can take down a good piece of change. I think we'll get at least 100 people in. But, you know, yeah, there's just no real college contest in town, strictly college. So we'll see how it does after year one, and if we have to tweak it or raise it, lower it, whatever. We just got to, it's a learning process, and but I'm glad we gave it a shot. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah, it is good to see that. I've always felt like there should be more college football handicapping contests. I know they don't get the same sort of participation numbers that NFL contests do. Pro Pick'em, $25 to enter, $300,000 in prizes for the 17 weeks of the NFL season. The college Pick'em, $500 to enter, three entries per person, 100% payback. And like you said, you'll have 25 games a week on that card, and you have to pick seven against the spread.
That is correct. And I'm looking forward to it. I you know, well, me and you are the same, Matt. We both prefer college over the pros. You know, and college starts pretty soon. So I think Hawaii kicks it off from some faraway destination. So
I believe we'll see. California and Hawaii is the first game. I think it's August 26th. And then,
yep,
of course, a lot more after that. And by the way, you know, there's still a lot of games in the opening week where FBS team is playing some 1AA squad, and those games might be on an extra board, but they won't get a lot of action. But the actual opening week schedule is loaded with some really good games. And this is a terrific start to the season this year.
Well, I prefer the first 4 weeks because I like to see the out-of-conference games. You know, conference games are fine, but we see the same matchups every year, and that's fine. It's nice when they mean something and they're undefeated, and there's a lot on the table. But I absolutely love seeing like a Big 12 team play a Pac-12 team or whatever, Big East versus AC, anything out of conference. I love, and I like to see the smaller conference play the bigger conferences. You know, once in a while they shock them. So I really prefer the first 4 or 5 weeks of college football.
How about the first game of the NFL preseason? And that's Green Bay and Indianapolis at William Hill. Looks like a pick 'em right now. Sunday night, Colts-Packers, total 35.5. Will you watch that game? How much play do you think you'll get on that?
No, I probably won't watch it. We got a pick. There's starting to be some Green Bay's one out there. You know, if we have a decent decision, I may tune in and watch some plays just because it's the first football of the year. And I like to watch the Hall of Fame speeches. That's good. I was a big Brett Favre fan, so I'm interested to see him talk. But, yeah, who knows? I may watch a little bit of it, but not much. I mean, this, you know, the starters don't go for anything in that game, so... But you never know when you might learn something. You might get some information about who's looked good in camp, or you know, someone they're expecting big things out of. So you never know. I mean, anytime you read or listen, you might learn something.
Dave, this is basically going to be Scott Tolzien for the Colts against Brett Hundley of the Packers in the first half. Are we going to see Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers at all?
I suspect that if they play, it's going to be like for a series, and I don't think they'll be out there at all myself, but I haven't seen anything official on that. But Huntley, boy, you see, the reviews have been rave on him so far, and he was terrific in the preseason last year. He didn't even know the offense at that time. This is a guy who, he might end up playing for somebody at some point. Obviously, he's not going to supplant Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, but he's an interesting guy. We'll also see a couple of untested guys, one in particular, Marquise Williams, out of North Carolina, who had a couple of bad plays at the end of games last year, but he looks like a guy with some skills, Nick, so I'm interested to see some of these kids get out there for the first time.
Yeah, for sure, and Hundley is an interesting piece. I mean, very, very talented kid out of UCLA, really young, and looked great last preseason. Obviously, not going to get much run in Green Bay, but at what point do you... You know, is it a year, two, three, 4 years? What do you do? I mean, if he keeps looking good in preseason and Rodgers never gets there, do you move him and try to get something out of him, or do you try to keep him there for insurance? Or, you know, it's an interesting situation. So I would be curious to see if Hundley could become a starter in the NFL.
All right, Nick, let's talk golf. This week, the PGA Tour stop is the Travelers Championship in Connecticut. Last week, the PGA in New Jersey. How many tickets did William Hill Books write on the winner, Jimmy Walker, who had not had a good season, I think surprised a lot of people by winning that event, and the big four favorites didn't fare too well except for Jason Day, who put a lot of pressure on Jimmy Walker on that last hole.
Yeah, great tournament. Walker was really good for us. Like you said, he'd been in horrible form, so no one was really wanting to back him. So, you know, another first-time winner in the major. I think that's five in a row now, and I was rooting for Walker. I mean, I do like Jason Day. I'm a fan, but I was rooting for Jimmy Walker just because he's, you know, he's got local ties. He comes to town a lot, works with Butch Harmon, so and he's a good guy. Everyone talks well about him, so... Yeah, he closed it out. He made it interesting on 18 for sure, but he hold that little 3-footer.
Yeah, I'm curious what was going through your mind. Obviously, you'd prefer Jimmy Walker to Jason Day if you're on the book side of things, and we know what a lot of the bettors were going through because obviously there's a lot of Jason Day bettors out there, and all of a sudden, Walker hits. I mean, this was just a baffling decision on his second shot. You got to hit a 7-iron and lay it up. I mean, it's a simple. Just play for par, and you're out of there easy. He hits a wood. He hits it badly, and I mean, if he'd have gotten a worse lie, we might be looking at a playoff.
No question about it. He hit it in the spinach, but it was a decent lie, so he could at least for sure pop it onto the green because he could have he short-sided himself. If he draws a bad lie in that rough, he's either going to a playoff or he loses. I mean, it's you know that could have been trouble, but thankfully he got a decent lie, and then he played a conservative chip just to make sure he got on the green, figuring he could two-putt, and that's what he did.
All right, this week, Bubba Watson, 12-1. He's fared really well in this event. He's the favorite. Brooks Koepka last week hit a drive into the woods, then hit another tree trying to get out. He's the second choice of 14-1. Brandon Grace, 15-1. He made a run at it last week and then faded. A lot of golf bettors this week seem to be on Brian Harman, the lefty, 60-1. In this tournament, I know Dave likes him. Wes Reynolds likes him. You anticipate much of a handle on this PGA event this week, or who do you like?
You know, it's weird because obviously Olympics on deck. A lot of these guys are playing this week after playing the major, and then right to the Olympics. I figured, you know, that they would take some weeks off, but I guess they made commitments a ways out. Yeah, we got Harmon 60-1. We got no tickets on him, so come on down if you want 60-1 on Brian Harmon. But yeah, but you know they've revamped this course. I was just reading an article on this course. They've you know put some bunkers in some tougher places, redid some greens. So we'll see if it plays the same. But yeah, Bubba plays really well here, and it's a pretty good field. I mean, look at the names: Watson, Koepka, Grace, Kuchar, Patrick Reed, Zach Johnson, Paul Casey, Ram, Furyk. I mean, that's a good field. Yeah. So. You know, I'll be watching this weekend for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned one who I also did play. I'm trying to remember the president, 20-something, I guess. Paul Casey, this guy's in good form. He seems to always be on the leaderboard. He's actually played this tournament in the past and played it pretty well. So I took a flyer on Paul Casey as well.
I don't blame you. About 10 years ago, I pegged him as a big-time winner on the tour. He's coming out of Arizona State. He was phenomenal. Lots of talent, but injuries. He had massive injuries at the start of his career, and then he never got it going. But I mean, you know, he's a top, I guess, 50 or 60 player. But he is finally healthy. He is starting to play well. So it wouldn't surprise me if Paul Casey won this week.
All right, Justin Thomas, another guy looks like an up and coming player. He's a 50-1. It is a pretty good field when you look at this.
Yeah, it's a nice tournament.
A lot of good players in action this week. Let's talk Olympics because of William Hill. You've had a ton of stuff up on the Olympics for several months. I'm not a big Olympics fan, but I think it's great in Nevada that we can bet on this stuff again, and you've got a lot of stuff up at William Hill Books.
Yeah, we do. That also, we got literally everything up. It's my hat's off to my right-hand man, Adam Pullen. He did all the legwork on the Olympics, and it required quite a bit, and if you want to swing by, I could start naming a bunch of stuff, but it'd be easier to come by to one of our places and get a sheet. But we got everything from who'll win more gold medals, U.S. or China, to Usain Bolt, to the men's basketball team winning it all, or women's basketball, or gymnasts, whatever. We got it, and you know, I'm sort of excited to see what kind of business we'll ride on it. I think it'll pick up dramatically once it's on TV and people get into the flow of the Olympics and get used to the Brazil time difference. So I'm sort of excited now. Just the money aspect of it's going to see if we can win or lose with it.
Well, now, will this stuff be on the phone app as well?
It is.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great because, you know, if you're watching with the time difference, people might not want to go out. And watch, might be watching from their easy chair, though. And if you're in the state of Nevada, that means you just fire up a bet on whatever you're watching.
No, 100%. And that's why mobile's starting to dominate this entire state. If you ask any director in town, you just see the counteraction to the mobile action. The mobile action's just dwarfing it because, like you said, you're watching a relay, a heat, and then all of a sudden you can click on your app and say, hey, Gatlin looked good. I'm betting him to win it all. Boom, there's your bet. You didn't have to get in your car, drive down somewhere, try to find a betting number, get on a sheet. I mean, it's, you know, the convenience factor is off the charts.
All right, at William Hill Books, 98 Olympic categories offered for wagering, including an event, Dave, I know you can't wait to handicap race walking.
No, actually, I'm waiting for the synchronized diving.
Yeah, that's what I. Yeah, it's insane. I am eager to see if Randall's daughter can take the high jump down at age 18. That would be phenomenal for Las Vegas.
That's the one thing that I'm going to watch for. I'm not a big Olympics guy, so I probably won't watch a whole lot. But I do want to watch her, and hopefully she'll bring a gold medal back. To the state of Nevada. She's a remarkable young lady.
You know, his son could have almost, you know, qualified as well. He was every bit as good. It was raining in Eugene in qualifying. He just didn't get it done, but that would have been even a more amazing story, brother and sister on the same Olympic team.
All right, Nick. Any baseball you're interested in tonight?
Let's take a look. I guess the... you know, they knocked down Madison Bumgarner last night. We'll see if Johnny Cueto can do it tonight as a $2 favorite. Looks like what was there an off pitcher for the Phillies, huh?
Aaron Nola's elbow flared up. They put him on the DL, and they're starting Phil Klein. So there's a bit of a drop off there.
I went to the gym and Cafe Rio, and I came back, and I just noticed off pitcher. Yeah. So the local kid's throwing for Colorado. Always root for the local kids. Tyler Anderson.
He's
so
looked great. He's done a terrific
really
job.
Has. Yeah.
I'm telling you, and this is interesting. Well, let's spend 1 second on the Rockies before we end the conversation. This is turning into one of the big surprise teams in baseball. I mean, they might not have enough to make a real run at the wild card, but they're going to win 80 games from the looks of things. And they got some nice young arms there. Jonathan Gray was good again last night. You mentioned Tyler Anderson, the local kid who's doing really well. I mean, I'm glad the Rockies didn't gut their team at the deadline and send Gonzalez into a Blackman someplace. This team looks like it's going to be pretty good in the near future.
I think they're a bet-on team the second half of the season, for sure.
All right. Good stuff, Nick.
All right, guys.
As always, and again, we urge people to get down to William Hill at any of the locations throughout the state of Nevada. Sign up for these contests. It's going to be a great time, and we'll talk to Nick Bogdanovich again next Wednesday. Coming up, it's not our first because I was not here for Bruce Marshall, but we're going to get into some college football, particularly some of the teams on the West Coast. Paul Compton, the Sports Crunch, is coming up next.
Can't get enough of the Sports Line crew? Follow the guys on Twitter at Dave Koken, at Matt Humans 24/7, at Mark Seidel, and at the LV Sports Line. Back to the Las Vegas Sports Line. Brought to you by William Hill Race and Sports Books.
All right, quick updates on what's happening in Major League Baseball. The Diamondbacks, they're losing again to the Nationals. This time it is a 4-2 ball game. Scherzer has knocked in two of those runs for Washington, and Trey Turner has a homer in that game for the Nationals. The Edwin Jackson and the San Diego Padres leading the Brewers 4-0 in the bottom of the sixth. Just saw a terrific catch by rookie outfielder Travis Jankowski, who's doing a nice job for the Padres. And the real excitement is at Wrigley Field. It is now a 4-3 ball game in the bottom of the ninth. The Cubs loading the bases with nobody out. Get a run on a Dexter Fowler sacrifice fly. Chris Bryan is now up with a count 1-2, one out, runners at second and third in the bottom of the ninth. The Cubs a base hit away from at least a tie and maybe a walk-off win. So we'll keep you posted and let you know what happens in that. Mark Seidel's pushing the buttons today. He's producing the show. Matt Humans is here. I'm Dave Koken. Thanks to Nick Bogdanovich and all the fine folks at William Hill for joining us and sponsoring today's show. And we'll be speaking with Paul Compton, the sports cruncher. College football talk about up next, but first a little Twitter action.
Tweet of the night.
Well, excuse me for not knowing how it works. I'm not on Twitter.
Tweet of the night. Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention.
Twitter updates are brought to you by Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. Love it at Joe's. There's not a, really, there's no wrong day to go down there. In fact, by the way, I think we're going to be lining up a lunch with our good buddy Ken Thompson next week to go down there and sample some of the delicacies at Joe's, including pretty much getting toward the end of the run with the Copper River sockeye salmon. So, you know, I would check and see how long they're going to have it for, because that doesn't run for all that long. It could be ending anytime soon, in fact. In fact, it might have already ended because I haven't called in the last week or so. But we will find out if that's gone. It doesn't matter. There's all kinds of great items at Joe's. Make a reservation if you're going in the evening. 792-9222 is the phone number.
All right. Good deal. Is Ken Thompson going to buy lunch, or do we have to pay for it?
I don't know. Kenny's, he's probably going to cry poverty now that he's married, right? Oh, I can't afford it anyway. No, Kenny's not like that. Very generous guy.
On Twitter, at Joe's Vegas, Jim Nantz, CBS broadcaster, said, quote, things I enjoy eating: one, Joe's stone crab, and two, our Dutton Ranch Chardonnay.
Well, I don't know much about the Chardonnay.
I don't either.
Particular Chardonnay, the stone crab, when that's in season, that is an absolute delicacy. Fantastic stuff.
All right. Also at Uber Facts on Twitter, Dave, what do you know about Vincent Van Gogh?
Famous artist. Had one ear, cut off the other ear.
Yeah.
Apparently he was rather temperamental and evidently looked like Kirk Douglas.
Here's a tweet. Vincent Van Gogh visited a brothel every 15 days.
Really?
According to Uber Facts.
Well, then it must be true.
Landing him with at least one bout of gonorrhea that led to a 3-week hospitalization. Now you know more about Vincent Van Gogh.
I did not know any of that before. I knew about the ear, and I knew about Kirk Douglas playing him. Was that Lust for Life? Was that the movie? I can't remember. One of the all-time great actors. He played a lot of great characters. He's still around. Guy's almost 100 years old. Amazing. All right. Let's talk some college football. Paul Compton's on. I met Paul last year online. I haven't met him in person. Hoping to do so one of these days, and discovered pretty quickly that he has what I think could be the best college football modeling set up out there, and his subscribers did extremely well last year, let's put it that way. And I know Paul's anxious to get things revved up again this year. He's with us right now. Hi, Paul, how are you?
Hey, good, Dave, how are you?
Just fine, and excited about the start of the college football season. You have put together an annual that people can download, and talk about what's in the annual.
This year it's mostly just stats and projections, as well as some charts looking at the two deeps from last year, so you can get an idea of who's coming back and what positions and who was not. But I think the main thing is projections, final score projections for every game of the year.
Yep, and we're going to look at some of those, and that, of course, ties into projections for over and under win totals if there's an indication. And the very first team you look at, there's an opportunity because it's Air Force, and you've got them projected to win more than 8 games. Let's put it that way. But we want to focus on some other Mountain West teams, and let's begin right here in Las Vegas with the Rebels. UNLV's second year under Tony Sanchez, I think, made some positive progress in terms of attitude last year. It looks like they've got a better roster this year. Certainly would think there's an upgraded quarterback. How do you feel about the Rebels?
Certainly the recruiting's up already. They already had a better class than Nevada this year, Reno coming in, so that's already a leg up on an in-state rival. The quarterback situation, looks like they're going to go with Johnny Stanton this year, who never worked out in Nebraska, and he played last year at Saddleback College, and he put up pretty good numbers. That's a nowhere kind of school right now, so... How well that transfers kind of remains to be seen, but the one thing he has going for him is he's got good legs. So he's a good dual threat. You know, last year, Decker put up pretty good numbers in the passing game, but wasn't mobile. You know, that's why they brought in Kurt Pallendecker. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but infrared zone tries and whenever Decker was injured, which was unfortunately several times.
Well, but, yeah, it was not only several times, but let's just say that I don't mean to slam the guy, but he didn't have a reputation for being the greatest gamer of all time in terms of playing through injuries, and that's why, yeah, I think they're much better off at that position this year. They've got a tough kid in there that Sanchez really likes, and it should pay off.
Right. Offensively, there's upside for sure, but defensively, I don't know where the optimism is going to come from there.
Well, that's why they're not going unbeaten. But where do you have them as far as a win projection goes?
Let me pull it up real quick. I have them at 4.9 games.
So a little lower than some of us locally. They've gotten some pretty good-sized play at the windows, but sometimes local fans get a little bit overly optimistic, Matt, although we both think that UNLV could win six this year.
I've heard some pretty good reports about Johnny Stanton, spring ball. Paul just said, he's an athlete. He can make plays on the run. He's got a strong arm, so he's an A-plus athlete, but he hasn't really been in the fire yet in terms of a guy – really saw very little to no time at Nebraska. Last year put up big numbers at JC. We'll see what he can do. I think that's a whole key to the season for the Rebels. If Johnny Stanton is a playmaker, this UNLV team's got a chance to win six games. If he struggles, UNLV could be another, a four-win type of team. But I like the looks of Stanton, Paul, and I think I give UNLV a chance to win five or six.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if things go well, if their defense doesn't just meltdown late in games and late in the season like they did last year, I mean, they could win as many as eight games this year.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that would be awesome here. Now let's talk about the
I did want to mention this. You said Tony Sanchez in his second year. We're going to talk about Reno and the Wolfpack. I like the coaching staff at UNLV better than I like Brian Poley and the staff at Reno, but how do you feel about Reno, because they are picked ahead of UNLV in the Mountain West poll?
Sure. I mean, yeah, Sanchez obviously made the jump from just being a high school coach to college last year, but, the staff he brought in had a lot of experience, both the OC and the DC with Barney Cotton and Kent Bear had years and years of experience, so that certainly seemed to help out right out of the gate last year. But Nevada, they, I think they're kind of in the same boat as UNLV this year, but they're just bringing back a little bit more, so they should finish a little bit better. Offensively, they've got a good run game, and they're bringing back their starting quarterback this year, Tyler Stewart. And, I mean, he didn't put up great numbers last year. I mean, that was the weakest part of their whole squad. So, if anything, I think their passing game should improve a little bit. They bring over Akil Lynch, the Penn State transfer, running back.
Yep.
And they've already got a pretty solid run game. So offensively, they should do well, but defensively, they lose a lot of guys.
That's part of the reason I think they're going to struggle. I think that team might go a little bit backwards this year. I want to focus on one team that is not going to go backwards. They look like they could be really – they were terrific at the end of last season, and I think they might be better this season. I really like San Diego State. That's a good staff that Rocky Long's got, including former UNLV head coach Bobby Houck, who's doing a great job there. Pumphrey is back. A lot of people thought he might try the NFL, but he's going to be back. I think the kid who's taken over at quarterback, he's going to be a good quarterback. This kid's going to be solid, and he got a lot of game experience last year, including that bowl win against Cincinnati, which was really impressive. I like this Aztecs team a lot.
Yeah. They're a team that with their schedule, they don't play Boise State in the regular season, and a lot of the Mountain West teams are just kind of so this year, so with them coming back, returning almost a good part of their offensive production, and defensively as well, they're bringing back a lot of guys, and their defense is the strength of their team. They they could easily run the table in the Mountain West with their division. And I think their win floor, I set it at eight games.
That's the floor? Wow.
That's the floor. I mean, that's only a half game below the betting line for them at 8.5 games.
Solid.
So I like their over, absolutely over 8.5, because I mean they could go undefeated, they could.
Rex?
I mean, you remember Dave, last year we both had the Aztecs as a
yes
one of our top plays in the bowls, and I had my opening line that I projected for them was what was it? Something like I projected an 18 or 19 point victory.
Yeah, you had it lopsided on San Diego State. I didn't have it quite that quite that one sided, but it turned out to be
And the line opened. They opened as like a 1 or 2 point dog.
That didn't last long. There was a game where the Sharps got on San Diego State quickly. They had the right side. Matt, I know you want to mention a team that the Sharps really seem to like this season in the Pac-12.
I don't know how many Sharps like him, but I have heard some talk about Washington State. Paul, break that one down for us.
Yeah, I heard you in the intro, and I was like, I'm going to be some more Debbie Downer on the majority of these teams I'm talking about today, because I think they overachieved last year. I see them settling back to a really, 500 type ball club this year. I mean, just look at their schedule. The teams they're going to have to beat. What's the over under for them is
it's higher this year.
Seven and a half.
I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting in the state of Washington because you got Chris Peterson. A lot of people think the Huskies are a team that could make a leap this year, and then Mike Leach, always interesting.
Guy finds a way though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, they never look. And I think you can go back to his days at Texas Tech and say this: his teams never look as good on paper as they end up being on the field. And he does things.
Oh yeah.
From my philosophy, he does things the wrong way. I mean, he doesn't run the football, and there's no ball control. But his passing game is his running game, and the guy finds a way to get W's. So, yeah, on paper, I don't have them that high myself, but they're a dangerous team to me.
Oh, I admit they're kind of an anomaly because with the statistics and the metrics I use for the numbers, you look at them, they certainly overachieved consistently. Because the run game, they end up with about 0 yards per carry on average because they're passing 75% of the plays and they take a high number of sacks, even though the running backs individually have good yard per carry averages. In their passing game, where they average, well below 7 yards per pass, which on paper you wouldn't think would be good, but they throw for such a high percentage of completions that, they keep moving the chains and getting the scores. So I will say that they are a little bit tricky in that respect.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah. We'll find out how they all unfold. And here's the thing. There's 129 teams out there. You do all 129 teams in the preview. Let people know how they can get this annual. It looks like a valuable tool to me.
Yeah, so just go to thesportscruncher.com. You just do a free sign-up there for a weekly newsletter, and you'll get access to the free version of the guide. It is missing the first 6 weeks of some of the final score projections. The full version is available to the people that subscribe to my line service, which is you get my lines for all the games before the games come out, which is obviously useful when the projections are correct. But yeah, so thesportscruncher.com, and you can check it all out there.
Sounds good, Paul. Sure appreciate the time, man, and continued success.
Hey, you bet, Dave. We will talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Paul Compton, The Sports Cruncher, and follow him on Twitter at it's either at Sports Cruncher or at Sports Cruncher, I believe. Yes. Okay, we're going to come back. We will get you a play of the day and tell you what happened at Wrigley Field.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
Are you ready for some football? Better yet, are you ready for the most comprehensive football handicapping contest in Las Vegas? This is Christy Glomatico-Sherman, Vice President of Marketing for the Las Vegas Sports Line. Registration is open for the Friday Football Showdown, presented by the Golden Nugget Sportsbook and hosted by the Las Vegas Sports Line on ESPN Radio. Entry fee is $2,000. The deadline to register at the Golden Nugget Sportsbook is Tuesday, September 6th. For more details, go to goldennugget.com or thelasvegassportsline.com for the Friday Football Showdown.
All right, scoreboard. It's been blown wide open at Petco. The Padres now leading the Brewers 8-0 in the top of the seventh. Edwin Jackson having a heck of a game. He's got the shutout working, and he's only thrown 76 pitches in the seventh inning. He's got a chance to a complete game here. The Nationals in Diamondbacks, that's now a 4-3 Arizona Washington lead at the end of seven, and it's a final at Wrigley, and the Cubs come from behind with a very bad ninth inning by A.J. Ramos. He was all over the place, and then Wild pitched in the winning run. Cubs come from behind and get a 5-4 victory over the Marlins. That's a crushing loss for the Marlins, who can't afford to give away games if they want to make the playoffs.
Yeah, second ridiculous win for the Cubs in the past 4 days. That win Sunday night was just insane.
Yeah.
Let's quick rundown of what's left on tonight's baseball card. Johnny Cueto against Phil Kline in Philly. The Giants are $2 favorites in this one. And the Giants, we talked about how much they have struggled since the All-Star break. 4-12.
Good chance to be 5-12 here. I'm not going to bet the game, but Phil Kline is a pretty good step down from Aaron Nola, who, if you missed it, had some kind of an elbow inflammation and has gone on the DL, and hopefully it's not serious for that fine young Phillies right-hander.
St. Louis and Cincinnati, Michael Wacha, Cody Reed, the Reds won in dramatic fashion last night. The Cardinals are $1.35 favorites here with Wacha.
It seems cheap. I would think there'll be a lot of Cardinals action here. The Reds have lost all seven of Cody Reed's starts. He hasn't really looked particularly good. Wacha's been pitching a little bit better lately for the Cardinals. I don't think he's kind of looking like a guy who's never going to be more than a number three, maybe. But nothing wrong with a good number three starter either.
Wacha's career ERA against the Reds is 1.84, his lowest against any opponent. Cody Reed, a 7.07 ERA in seven starts.
I don't think that's very good.
For the Reds, Dodgers and Rockies at Coors. That's Brock Stewart against Tyler Anderson. And we talked with Nick Bogdanovich about the local product. Tyler Anderson allowed 3 earned runs or fewer in 8 of his 9 starts.
Wow.
This is going to be the second career start for Brock Stewart. He allowed 5 runs in 5 innings.
That was all in one inning, I believe.
That was about 2 months ago against Milwaukee.
Actually, he looked pretty good in that game from everything I was able to find out. I didn't get to see the game because we don't get to see the Dodger games. He ran into one big inning. The problem is if you get into big inning, the danger of a big inning in Colorado, it can turn into a real big inning. That team's smacking the ball. Bad news for the Rockies, of course, Trevor Story out for the season with ligament tear. Tough break for a guy who was going to be the rookie of the year.
It was a bad break for the Rockies, who are 13-5, best record in baseball since the All-Star break. Also, we will go to Texas and Baltimore. Cole Hamels, Kevin Gausman, a pick'em game at Camden Yards.
Probably the best matchup of the night, isn't it? You've got two playoff contenders. Gausman has not been able to win games, despite the fact that he's had a lot of decent outing. Cole Hamels is still a guy I like in big games, and I think this is a big game. I didn't bet it because I just don't want to go against the Orioles at home. They're just too dominant at home.
Past 22 home games, Baltimore is 19-3.
Well, there you go.
Cole Hamels 3-0 with an ERA of 0.84 since the All-Star break. Cole Hamels is money on the road. I will say that. That's a tough one. I just stayed away from that game tonight. Minnesota and Cleveland. Duffy against Bauer and the Indians at $1.70.
Yeah, it's come down a little bit from where it was. And why not? The Twins, I believe, I did the numbers last night. I think they're 27-17 in the last 44, something like that. Or 70, I don't know, whatever it was. They're 10 games over a decent amount of time. And they're just a different team now than they were early in the season when they were pressing and their veterans weren't producing at all. And they're playing good baseball right now. Now, Tyler Duffy's been awful in his last, I mean, really bad in his last couple of starts. But I think this is an overlay. I mean, if you're just looking for pure value, I think you get it with the Twins here. The Indians are clearly the favorite in the game, but I don't think they're $1.70 justified.
A's and Angels, Graveman against Jared Weaver. Angels are 115 or so favorites in that game tonight. And the Angels, 15-8 in their past 23 games.
And their new closer, because Houston Street did go on the DL. I actually forgot about that last night.
Yep.
And thought, wow, Socha actually just went to Bedrosian, but he didn't have much choice. He should stay with Bedrosian when Street's ready to come back, because Bedrosian is their best guy in their bullpen. He got his first career save last night.
Red Sox and Mariners in Seattle. Rick Porcello against Iwakuma. And that one, Porcello 6-0 with a 2.41 ERA in his past 6 starts. And the Red Sox are 115 favorites. Mets and Yankees also tonight. Mats and Chad Green at Yankee Stadium. That's a pick'em. Let's get to the play of the day.
It's the play of the day, brought to you by Mastroianni's.
Hey, Mastroianni's, if you didn't know it, they're located at the corner of Hualapai and Desert Inn. 3330 South Hualapai is the address. 367-7511 is the phone number to make a reservation. And it's worth punching in those phone numbers along with the area code 702 because you will have a great dinner at Mastroianni's. Family-owned for, it's closing in on 2 decades now, in their old location at Spring Valley and their beautiful newer location in Summerlin. Absolutely great restaurant. That's Mastroianni's, 367-7511.
All right, Detroit Tigers have won a season-high 7 straight.
Yeah.
You like this play as well tonight. Tigers minus 130. That's Michael Fulmer against Chris Sale. And Fulmer's been outstanding. Chris Sale in a little bit of a slump, Dave. 0-2 with 10 earned runs allowed, 19 innings in his past 3 starts. We'll go with the Tigers to get the win tonight.
No word if he likes the uniforms they're wearing or not. We'll find out at game time. That's going to do it for the Wednesday edition of the Las Vegas Sports Line. Thanks to Paul Compton, the Sports Cruncher, and, of course, Nick Bogdanovich, the odds maker for William Hill U.S. For Mark Seidel and Matt Humans, I'm Dave Koken, and we thank you for listening. We'll do it again tomorrow here on the Las Vegas Sports Line.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.